Wir sind SBS German. Weitere Inhalte finden Sie auf sbs.com.au/German.
Musik haben wir auch noch einmal im Programm, aber zuerst ein Highlight vom letzten Jahr aus unserer Sommerserie Highlights 2019. Heute Brave Enough Now. Das ist der Titel eines Buches von Tiffany Johnson. Die Australierin überlebte 1999 das Canyoning-Desaster in der Schweiz. Bei der Erlebnistour kamen 21 Menschen ums Leben, darunter 14 Australier. Vielleicht erinnern Sie sich, eine wirklich herzzerreißende Tragödie. Doch Tiffany nutzte ihr schreckliches Erlebnis, um endlich ihr Trauma zu überwinden. Sie kehrte im Juli zum 20. Jahrestag des Desasters in die Schweiz zurück und veröffentlichte danach ein Buch. Unsere damalige SBS-Hospitantin Alisa Wienand traf die heute 41-jährige Tiffany Johnson bei der Buchvorstellung im Parlament von Victoria, umgeben von den Wolkenkratzern des CBDs in Melbourne.
Sommer bei SBS.
Genau 20 Jahre ist es her, als 21 junge Menschen ihr Leben bei einer Canyoning-Tour in Interlaken in der Schweiz verloren haben. In der Felsschlucht des Sachsetbaches wurde die Gruppe von einer 2 Meter hohen Sturzflut erfasst. An diesem Tag sind Menschen aus Australien, Neuseeland, Südafrika, England und der Schweiz ums Leben gekommen. Nur 6 Menschen, die während der Sturzflut im Wasser waren, haben überlebt. Tiffany Johnson ist eine davon. Die Australierin kann sich noch genau an die Ereignisse vor 20 Jahren erinnern.
It was a rainy day up in Winterswil in Switzerland near Interlaken, and there was a storm at the very top of the mountain. We were going canyoning and we were really excited. We were young and adventurous, we were living our best life, and my hair had gone really frizzy, so I knew that it was going to rain. I just didn't realize that where the rain was would then come down into the canyon.
Vor der Tour wussten viele der Teilnehmer nicht, was Canyoning überhaupt ist.
Canyoning is using your body on rocks and boulders, making your way down through a canyon with harnesses, and you wear a wetsuit and a helmet, and you hang on to different parts of the boulders and jump in and slide, and it's quite fun, it's an adrenaline sport. And most people that were going canyoning that day didn't know what canyoning was. They thought that it was canoeing, which is very different to canyoning.
Kurz vor dem Einstieg in die Schlucht fing es an zu regnen. Der Tourguide beruhigte die Teilnehmer damit, dass es auf der Route durch die Schlucht mehrere Ausstiegspunkte gibt.
And then we all started to proceed into the canyon, and we were having an amazing time and so much fun, and the water was this beautiful, crystal clear, and it was like this Garden of Eden, it's just so pristine and magical. We got to about halfway through the canyon, I realized that the water had started to rise and it had gone from that beautiful crystal clear to a really murky, muddy brown and went from my ankle to my knee within a matter of seconds.
Das Wasser stieg weiter rasant an. Der Tourguide wurde hektisch und sagte den Teilnehmern, dass sie sich beeilen müssen.
And I took that next jump. And there was a guide in the little waterhole where I landed. And as I came back up for air from the force of my life jacket, the guide put his hand out and tried to grab me, and our hands slipped past each other, and I was pulled under the water and swept away. And at that moment was when the wall of water, the flash flood, came down the canyon and crushed all of my friends that were waiting.
Nur Sekunden später wurde auch Tiffany Johnson von der Sturzflut erfasst.
I knew that if I tried to fight the water, I could never win. So I just surrendered my body to the water and let go, and I was tumbled around like a washing machine, and logs and rocks and debris hit me, and I just kept trying to get up for air as often as I could, and then eventually I was pushed into a giant boulder with a huge big log that rammed me in my stomach, and I came up for air and I could finally see the white water and the flood that I was in, and I saw all of my friends floating past with their face down, and I knew that they were dead instantly. And I looked over to my left side where the bank was, but I knew that it was just too far away. I would never make it. I had to make the most important decision of my life, whether I stayed by the boulder, potentially have the water lapping at my face would get higher and I would drown instantly. A boulder could come flying down from the force of the water and crush me, or would another log come down and hit me in the head and I'd die. And so I thought it was safer if I let go. And so I wiggled and went forward and went down, was pulled under the water again and kept going up for snippets of air when I could. And then it got to a point when I thought, that's it, I have no air left. And I prayed sporadically. I shot up out of the water. My whole body went flying up out of the water and I was at the top of a giant waterfall. It was absolutely huge. It was at least 20 metres wide. I went over the waterfall, and then when I came back up for air again, I was in this tiny little alcove that was crystal clear, and I was so exhausted. And I tried to move my legs, but they wouldn't work, and so I used my arms to make my way over to the edge. And as I got to the bank, I was grabbing onto the grass, but it just kept slipping through my fingers. And then a pair of feet arrived at eye level where my head was just bobbing up above the water and tried to reach down and pull me up onto the shore. But I had a giant big branch stuck through my life jacket across both of my arms, and I had to wiggle back into the water and try and get it out. And eventually I did, and then called out Go, and he yanked me up onto the bank, and I was saved.
Go war ein Freund, der sie nach einer gefühlten Ewigkeit ans Land zog. Und der Tourguide, der nach dem Sprung vergeblich nach Tiffany Johnsons Hand gegriffen hatte, brachte die beiden in Sicherheit. Jeden Tag wird die heute 41-jährige Australierin an dieses Erlebnis erinnert. Seit dem Desaster leidet sie unter Diabetes. Eine Insulinpumpe reguliert die Insulinzufuhr in ihrem Blutkreislauf. Die Pumpe hält Johnson am Leben. Neben ihrem Gesundheitszustand hat die Sturzflut auch ihre Persönlichkeit beeinflusst.
It definitely did change my personality. I was always a bubbly, happy kind of person, but I became, I think, more present as much as I possibly can, and more grateful and appreciative of all the wonders that we get in our life, like watching the daffodils just come out just now because it's spring, and all the little things that I appreciate in life. I just have a really positive attitude and knowing that how lucky I am.
Dankbar, positiv und präsent. Das ist ihre Lebenseinstellung heute. Doch bis dahin war es für die Australierin ein langer Weg. Immer wieder wurde sie therapeutisch behandelt. Nur so konnte sie die Bilder des Canyoning-Unglücks verarbeiten.
I went and sought professional help with Westmead Hospital Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Clinic, and I was with them for many, many months, and they gave me lots of amazing tools to try and help me. I had terrible flashbacks and nightmares, and I had a lot of injuries from the accident, so it took me a long while to recover both physically and mentally. I had survivor guilt, which was really, really hard to deal with, and the post-traumatic stress disorder. It was probably about 12 months after that I realised I really had a significant problem. And I could see that I couldn't live a normal life, and everything seemed really stressful and really, really hard. And it was because I wasn't sleeping, because I was having flashbacks and nightmares every night, and I was starting to also get flashbacks in the day as well. So something would happen and I would instantly see the water or feel it or hear it.
20 Jahre nach der Tragödie im Berner Oberland ist Tiffany Johnson zum ersten Mal zurückgekehrt, dorthin, wo alles passiert ist. In der Schweizer Gemeinde Interlaken wurde Ende Juli eine Gedenkfeier ausgerichtet. Zusammen mit ihrem Mann und ihren Kindern ist Johnson in die Schweiz geflogen.
It was amazing and it was terrifying all at once. I was on the plane going over, we're about to fly into Zurich, and my children said to me, "Mummy, Mummy, look out the window," and they had never seen Alps like that before. They'd never left Australia before. And when I saw those mountains, I was terrified. I felt like I was facing my demon, that my biggest fear was those mountains. And when I went back into the canyon, I remembered so many things. I felt so familiar to me, the leaf litter. I remember being covered in all this yucky leaf, dead leaves and bits of sticks, and I still have a little bit stuck in my wrist that they never dug out. And so I always have a piece of Switzerland with me, which I kind of like, actually. I don't see it as a bad thing, just a good remember, just a reminder of everything and everyone that perished. But then I felt this amazing sense of peace wash over me, and I knew that they were okay and that they were safe and they were peaceful, the people that died, and I finally felt peaceful and that I was safe. It was really healing.
Eine Kon-Tiki-Reise in der Schweiz vor 20 Jahren hat Tiffany Johnsons Leben für immer verändert. Was denkt sie heute über das Land?
Switzerland is a beautiful place, and the people in Switzerland are just divine. They were so friendly and helpful, and the accident really, really affected their lives. There's a lady that goes up to the memorial site all the time, and still 20 years later, and takes care of it voluntarily. they were incredibly warm and friendly, and I see Switzerland as a beautiful, special place.
Ein wunderschönes, friedliches Land, dessen unberechenbare Natur 21 jungen Menschen das Leben kostete. Alle im Alter zwischen 19 und 32 Jahren. Heute ist die Australierin mutig genug, ihre Geschichte erstmals einer breiten Öffentlichkeit zu erzählen. In ihrem neuen Buch Brave Enough Now.
So my new book, Brave Enough Now, is about my survival of the accident, but it's also about what led me to Switzerland in the first place. I'd had a very toxic relationship and had felt that a lot of my personality had been crushed and taken away from me. And so I was on a search of self-discovery, as so many young people do in today's society. And I was finally brave enough to leave that relationship, and that was incredibly difficult. And so my book's about listening to your own intuition, being brave when you need to be brave, and standing up for yourself. I ended up having an eating disorder in that relationship, and so it's really important to seek the right help. So I also talk about that in-depthly as well, loving yourself.
Das Buch hat Johnson ihren Freunden gewidmet, die bei der Canyoning-Tour ihr Leben verloren haben. Der Schreibprozess hat der Australierin dabei geholfen, ihre Wunden zu heilen und die Wunden vieler anderer.
When I was in Switzerland, I met with some of the other survivors and families of those that they had lost loved ones. And every single one of them came up to me and said, thank you for writing your story. And knowing that the accident is in paper and it's in a book, it will be there forever. And it helped a lot of them with their own healing. And that's what I wanted it to do. I really wanted it to help people, to show that no matter how tough a situation can get for people, you've got cancer or a car accident or something bad has happened to you. Bad stuff happens all the time, but it's how we move forward, and it's how we come together as community and support each other and love each other. And I was wanting to fill people with hope and inspiration.
Die Australierin Tiffany Johnson, eine von nur 6 Überlebenden des Canyoning-Desasters oberhalb von Wilderswil in den spektakulären Schweizer Alpen nach einer Sturzflut am 27. Juli 1999. Ihr Buch heißt Brave Enough Now, es hat 264 Seiten und ist auf ihrer Webseite erhältlich. Unsere Alisa Wienand traf Tiffany Johnson bei ihrer Buchvorstellung in Melbourne. Das war im September und es war ein Highlight aus unserem Programm 2019. Das nächste Highlight hören Sie morgen an dieser Stelle.
Lust auf weitere Interviews und Geschichten? Uns gibt's auf allen großen Podcast-Plattformen wie Apple, Google und Spotify.